From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
The Republicans in the Senate, as you know, are taking it up today. And it's really up to the Democrats, totally up to the Democrats as to whether or not we have a shutdown.
That's President Trump. Up to the Democrats on whether there's going to be a shutdown, but Senator Chuck Schumer says he's not getting his wall. This is Russ Jones. Happy Friday. It's great to be with you on this day. Friends, this is my last day as the producer of Washington Watch and in my formal position as Tony Perkins' guest host. It's been an incredible honor to be with you, and it's been an amazing ride, and we're going to have a great show here today. And the House passed a stopgap funding bill with $5 billion for President Trump's border wall. He warned of a very long government shutdown if Democrats oppose the bill. And a victory for churches, nonprofit organizations, and unborn human life. The House also passed a bill that protects churches and charities from being forced to pay $1.7 billion in taxes for transportation benefits over the next decade. It's known as the parking lot tax. Congressman Ralph Norman of South Carolina will be here in just a moment to discuss. And also, President Trump is withdrawing some 2,000 U.S. forces from Syria. When exactly that military presence will leave is unknown. President Trump defended his decision to withdraw these troops. Thursday, foreign policy hawks are highly critical of the decision. And also, Defense Secretary James Mattis. Well, he's announced Thursday he would resign at the end of February, sending a note to President Trump saying he deserved a secretary, quote, whose views are better aligned with yours. We'll talk with FRC's retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin about the move. And a senior living complex is a living example of Scrooge, as they tell the elderly they cannot mention the words Merry Christmas or have Christmas decorations. Later in the program, we'll talk with Alliance Defending Freedom Senior Counsel Matt Sharp, who is representing a resident at the Senior Center in Washington State. And of course, we're going to take your calls. But before we get into the show, as we approach the end of the year, I want to encourage you to partner with FRC. Folks, this is the real deal. These folks are in the trenches battling for faith, family, and freedom, so we can continue to make a difference together in 2019. Your tax-deductible gift will be doubled. That's right, doubled, thanks to a generous challenge match. You give 20, it turns into 40. You give 50, it turns into $100, and so on and so forth. Help us advance faith, family, and freedom for the sake of America. Give us a call, 1-800-225-4008. The lines are open. Give us a call or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. All of this great content is on tonyperkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at tperkins, and you can follow me at rjonesreports. Well, the House's approval of $5 billion for border security comes after President Trump said yesterday he would not sign a short-term spending bill that did not include such funding. And Trump and Congress must come to an agreement on a funding bill by tonight, or parts of the federal government will shut down Saturday. And good news, the House of Representatives have an approval to the Retirement Savings and Other Tax Relief Act of 2018. It's known as H.R. 88, along party lines. With us now is Congressman Ralph Norman. He serves the 5th Congressional District of South Carolina, and he serves on the House Small Business Committee and a member of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, glad to be here, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Well, you were in a... a very busy place there, lots of drama going on. Kind of take us behind the curtain, so to speak. Where are we at with the funding and the wall and the shutdown and so forth?
Well, the good news is that a group of conservatives got active and basically insisted on $5 billion for the wall, actually $5.3. We insisted on the disaster release for those who had been affected by the hurricane, and we sent it to the Senate. Nancy Pelosi said we couldn't pass it. She thought we didn't have support. We did, and sent it to the Senate. They stripped it. They're apparently going to strip it out. But the good news is, hopefully, we're going to sit tight. And, you know, it's now or never for our security. If we don't have the security, then this country ceases to be a sovereign country. And I'm excited about it. The bad news is that we're looking at a shutdown, which is never pleasant, but it really shouldn't have ever gotten to this point. You know, we never should have waited this long. We've asked for this for the last year, and for whatever reason, it wasn't on the table. Now it is, and we'll see how it plays out. I'm willing to sit here for as long as it takes to get this secure border and get the sovereignty of our great nation back in place. And if we don't do it after the gavel passes on January 3rd, Pelosi, we have no hopes of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are your colleagues doing as we speak over in the Senate?
You know, I've heard two things. I got a tweet the minute I called, before I called your show, and said they're close to some type of agreement. President Trump is indicated that he's going to stick with what he told Pelosi and Schumer in the televised event, that he had to have it, had to have the funding, and hopefully will. And we're asking him to get on the line and get on the air as Ronald Reagan did and sell this thing, because there's no greater salesman than President Trump. And we're right. And as I tell, you know, look at the vote, 217 to 185. It wasn't even close. So I'm optimistic. If we can just stand tight, if it means sitting up here through Christmas, we do it. I mean, that's what we're elected to do. And as I told a group who, you know, they're all mad about, upset they're not getting a paycheck, but if it happens, but if security is not important, then take the locks off your home, take the locks off your cars, take security away from the airports, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, and we know how that goes over. Security is important to all of us. That's why we have locks on our homes and our cars, as you rightly point out. And we're talking about 345,000 government employees furloughed. If that happens, of course, what is it, Congressman? Is it about 75% of the budget that's already been funded?
Yeah, actually, a little over, right at 80%. So it's not even. And to get this, the $5 billion. Is 0.125 of the total $4 trillion spent. So the fact that, you know, it's not about the money. It's about a group that just, and the Democrats, all 177 voted against it. And it's about them just not wanting the president to succeed and to prove a point.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about this other Tax Relief Act of 2018. This is really good news for us, and we need to tell folks about it. To tell our listeners what this means and what you all passed.
Well, the Tax Extenders Act, or 4.0, was a bill that expanded on what we passed in June and July. It's great for churches in that, you know, the Johnson Amendment, which threatened the taxing ability for churches to be threatened if you preach anything of the gospel. The tax was going to be affected on that. The parking lot tax, as they had it. And Trump has been good from day one on this. He's been supportive of it. And hopefully we're going to have this, get this into law and passed. The Democrats, again, will not support it and don't intend to.
Right. Yeah. And if these taxes, they would have been devastating, really, wouldn't they, for churches, many of whom would have been required for the first time to file tax returns. And while the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act removed the transportation benefit for businesses, it probably should have been applied for nonprofits in the first place. Isn't that right? It's essential. It was essential that Congress move on this.
It should have been there. Yeah, exactly. It should have been there all along. And to even have to debate that. It shouldn't have been a question. But as what I'm learning in D.C., it's things that you don't think. You think things that you think are common sense aren't so common. Mm-hmm. But this president's got our back, and he needs to do more than a tweet, not only on the wall and the importance, but what he's doing for churches from the taxing standpoint, what he's doing for small business, which has been amazing over the last 2 years.
And what would be really interesting, and I know encouraging for many of our listeners, additionally, this bill recognizes unborn children for the first time ever in the tax code. Tell us about how that works.
Well, you know, Steve King's pro-life bill, which I think he's been trying to get passed. He met all the definitions of getting all the groups behind it, and for some reason leadership didn't bring up his bill, which would make life sacred after, I think it was 9 weeks, 10 weeks. And he's been pushing this. He's been a proponent, not only with others for the last 2 years, he's been actively pushing it for the last 6 months. And hopefully we're going to get that finished and get that across the board.
Yeah, it's opened 529 educational savings accounts for the unborn child, I believe I read. So what do you see? Hopefully, folks will get to go home. I'm just praying that things will get to a point. But we know President Trump is, you know, pretty firm on this, and he won't be the only president where the government has shut down under. Many have before. But what do you see happening in the next Congress? You've got a good crop of new conservatives coming in. And what do you see happening next?
Well, the conservatives will not be in charge. It will not be like it's been. I've never served under Pelosi and the Democrats, but what you won't have is the ability to effectively get tax cuts so we can expand on what we're doing because we simply won't have the votes. And with the border wall and with so many other things, there's no regulation they don't like. There's no tax they don't like. So we'll be more communicating instead of legislating. It won't be – we just simply won't have the votes. Now, that being said, the good news, can we get together on possibly some transportation issues or infrastructure issues? Yes. If it makes sense, we will – support her. It's not with me and many others. It's not a matter of the D behind the Democrat or the R behind the Republican. It's about ideas and what makes sense for the country. They just have a different worldview, not just from churches, but with, again, this border wall, which is border security they don't want, regulations. Dodd-Frank, what they will pass will be make Dodd-Frank look minuscule and They'll expand what they can, and hopefully we can stop it. And thank God the Senate has increased their majority, and the president will be a backstop for the bad things that happen if they do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Congressman, we just got about 60 seconds left. Real quick, the meaning of Christmas for you, any special traditions you like to celebrate?
Oh, yeah. You know, we family, you know, the people that get together with family. That's what I hope we can do. Although, again, if it's most conservatives now are like, a lot of them are like me, they fearful for the country, and that's why we do what we do. But yes, if we can go on with our families, we'll do it and celebrate Christ and be glad to do that.
Yeah. Congressman Norman, thank you so much. God bless you. Appreciate your work. We're up against the wall here out of time, but God bless you, and thank you so much for joining us on Washington Watch and serving our nation.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you. This is Congressman Ralph Norman of South Carolina, one of the good guys there. Well, coming up next, President Trump is calling for troops to leave Syria, and Defense Secretary James Mattis is calling it quits. When we return, we'll talk with FRC's retired General Jerry Boykin. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. This is the Friday edition of Washington Watch. It's a pleasure to be with you here today. Don't go away.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008. Or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
We're inviting you to join other like-minded people and become a Stan member. We want to build stronger relationships with listeners like you and provide resources to strengthen your faith and equip you to stand for the values that matter to you of life, marriage, and religious freedom. By joining this growing network of engaged believers, you'll receive a copy of Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, detailing courageous Christians standing for truth. And for a limited time this month, we will also send you a copy of Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray, that illustrates how God's power can change everything. Take action today and become an FRC Stan member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stand. That's 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stand. Thank you for partnering with us. The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
You've tuned in to Washington Watch, the Friday edition. Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. This is my last official day as the producer of this show and guest host. I think I'll be back from time to time filling in for Tony, but it has been an incredible honor and incredible 2.5 years. Unbelievable people at FRC. I'm telling you firsthand, they're the real deal. Fighting for you, for faith, family, and freedom. Well, foreign policy hawks such as Senator Bob Corker and Senator Marco Rubio, Senator Lindsey Graham, they're adamantly criticizing President Trump for ordering this withdrawal of forces in Syria. There are also reports of a possible drawdown in Afghanistan. Both moves have been met with opposition by Pentagon officials and members of the foreign policy establishment. And also Defense Secretary James Mattis is stepping down. Well, joining us now is someone that knows all about what goes on at the Pentagon, retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He is the Executive Vice President of the Family Research Council and former United States Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence under President George W. Bush and founding member of the U.S. Army's elite Delta Force. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Russ, thanks, and we're going to miss you.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Talk about job security here for someone like yourself to talk on these issues. It has been a busy few days, hasn't it?
Well, it really has. And, Russ, first of all, on the issue of Jim Mattis, he did it exactly right. Unlike some of the previous secretaries of defense who supported policies that they didn't agree with, and then after they left, they wrote books criticizing, you know, the president. Well, you should have done exactly what Jim Mattis did. Mm-hmm. You should have submitted your resignation if you couldn't support the policy of the commander-in-chief. Now, I happen to be one that doesn't agree with what he's doing either on this particular issue, although I support him on most things. But I think Mattis did exactly the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you can't support the person in charge and the policies, you're exactly right. Step aside and let somebody that come in and do what they're going to do. Well, let's talk about Syria here for a moment. What are your thoughts here? I think you know this issue very well.
Yeah, listen, first of all, I'd like to see the intelligence estimates of the condition of ISIS right now. And I don't know what the president knows, and that's the one factor that we all need to keep in mind. But it is my assessment that the intelligence community would probably have a different view of the conditions of ISIS there. Yes, our president has done a masterful job of allowing the military to fight to win, and they have decimated ISIS, but their ideology is still alive, and there are still many people out there that would align themselves with the ideology, which could be recruited, and this could be a very, very strong recruiting tool with the ISIS propaganda saying, you see, we won, we ran them out of Syria. And I think that this is ill-advised. But the other thing, Russ, is, and I think a lot of people are talking about this now, is we leave the Kurds, the Christians, and the Yazidis very vulnerable to attacks, not only by Turkey in the case of the Kurds, but by attacks on the Christians there, by Islamic groups there that are not ISIS, but they're certainly more aligned with ISIS than they are with the West.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to point out, as you said, despite wiping out most of about 100,000 ISIS fighters, there's about 10,000 ISIS fighters, according to various reports that I was looking into, that remain in Syria, that could reestablish what's called the caliphate, which is their Quran and whatnot. And I don't think a lot of people understand what you brought up about the Kurds. Help our listeners understand that dynamic.
Well, you have major Kurdish populations in really four places, Syria, Turkey, Iraq, and Iran. And they're all kind of up in the northern regions there. And all the Kurds have ever wanted was a homeland. They've wanted independence. They've wanted a sovereign portion of ground that they could call Kurdistan. And they have been our most strategic and most important allies in that part of the world. They have fought with America. And after the first Gulf War, we just dropped them. They fought with us, the Peshmerga, which is their military arm. They fought with us, and then we pulled out and left them vulnerable. And Saddam Hussein took that opportunity to kill over 30,000 of them. That was a lot of the chemical weapons that he used were used to kill Kurds. And then after we pulled out of Iraq, we basically left the Kurds on their own once again. And, of course, they were a target of the Shia forces as well as the Sunni forces in Iraq. So that was the second time we abandoned them, and now we're about to do it the third time. And they have been the backbone of the resistance against ISIS up in the northeast there, and in places like Raqqa, which was the ISIS headquarters city. It's been the Peshmerga, the Kurds. Well, the Turks have always considered the Kurds to be an enemy, a terrorist group. And there are some groups like the PKK and the YPG that the Turks have been after for years. They've attacked them. They've killed them. They've done everything they could. And now they are saying those are the very people that are in northeast Syria, and Erdogan is saying we're going to go in there and launch military operations against them because they're a threat to Turkey. And if we pull out of there and there is a genocide up there of Kurds or Christians or even Yazidis, it is going to be a really black mark on the presidency and the legacy of our current president. And I want him to succeed. I do not want to see that happen.
Right. So essentially this withdrawal could create a vacuum that could be filled by the terrorist groups, because I think you and I both know, and a lot of folks know, that these folks don't stop recruiting, do they?
No, they don't stop recruiting, and they will use this. I promise you, when America pulls out of there, they will use this to declare victory and to recruit, and it will be a very effective recruiting tool, in my view.
Real quick, we're about out of time. Favorite Christmas tradition? You're probably traveling to see family. Real quick.
Yes, I have family coming to me, and my favorite Christmas tradition is to read the story of the birth of Jesus on Christmas morning before we do anything else.
Amen. Well, General, it's been an honor and a pleasure. God bless you, and thank you for your service, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Russ, and God bless you.
Thank you. Coming up next, a religious liberty group says a Catholic-assisted living complex in Washington State has wrongly banned residents from saying, guess what, Merry Christmas, or displaying holiday decorations out of fear it will violate a federal law. When we return, we'll talk with attorney Matt Sharp of Alliance Defending Freedom. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Hey, give us a call. The phone lines are open.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year. Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
It's Friday. Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. Good to be with you here today. Well, we've got this amazing case here, bah humbug kind of case. Alliance Defending Freedom has sent a letter to a senior living complex that has banned its residents from saying Merry Christmas, singing religious Christmas carols, or displaying any religious Christmas items in its common areas, including on the doorposts of the building's apartments. And the complex wrongly claims that it cannot allow any resident to engage in religious expression because it accepts funds from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. This is up in Washington State. With us now is Matt Sharp, Senior Counsel of Alliance Defending Freedom, and he is working on the case. Matt, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, give us the essentials here. This is truly a bah humbug case, isn't it?
It really is. This actually started a few weeks ago when Providence Place, the senior living facility, sent out a memo to all of its residents saying, as you're entering into the holiday season, we encourage you to be festive but not religious when it comes to how you decorate and how you celebrate. They then proceeded to give them a list of acceptable types of decorations for the hallway and common areas, things like Santa Claus or Christmas tree, and then listed the things that would be too religious and not acceptable, things like a nativity or even a Star of David. And so as a result of all of this, the residents who have traditionally been free to, you know, decorate their doorways and other sort of common areas and celebrate Christmas consistent with their faith are now being told you can't have cards up that say Jesus Christ or other things that are too religious, that are not sufficiently secular as they're celebrating Christmas there in their homes.
And do I understand correctly that this is a faith-based facility?
That's exactly right. This is Catholic-affiliated, and so they're privately owned, and nothing, you know, compels them to do this, and yet seem to be showing this hostility towards people of faith as they're trying to celebrate Christmas consistent with their faith.
Yeah, and how about the folks at Providence Place? What's the town it's in?
Yeah, Chehalis, Washington. So it's about an hour south of Seattle.
Okay, Chehalis, in Providence Place. Have they responded to your letter?
So they did issue a statement yesterday, I believe, essentially saying, doubling down on their position, saying we control the doorways, we control the outside areas, and it's always been our policy to exercise exclusive control over what's displayed. Well, the problem is, it's not like they're saying you can't put up anything. They're going around and saying, you can have that decoration because it's Santa Claus, but you can't have that one because it's a nativity scene or it's related to Christ. And they're still having this idea that something in federal law, that their receipt of federal funding requires this. But multiple times, the Department of Housing and Urban Development has rejected this exact argument. They said, residents have the right to exercise their religion. And specifically said, we strongly discourage any recipient of federal funding from denying residents the freedom to exercise their religion during the holidays. So all of this boils down to is this facility is wanting to pick and choose what is acceptable celebration of Christmas and what is not, and they're doing it based solely on the religious content of what the residents want to display.
Which is incredible, isn't it, Matt? I mean, pushing forth the sectarian pagan symbols of a religious holiday like Christmas. I really have a hard time connecting the dots on this one, Matt.
Yeah, I always view it as, imagine if, we had someone going around to all of our houses and looking at the decorations we put up outside and say, nope, that nativity scene's not allowed, but you can keep up your Frosty the Snowman. That's exactly what's happening. These are these individuals' homes. This is where they live and where they reside. And to tell them what decorations they're allowed to do, what they're allowed to express as part of the celebration of Christmas is awful, especially when you think how many of these residents fought in wars to protect American freedoms or had loved ones that did so. And yet those very freedoms are now being deprived of them by this resident facility.
Exactly. And most of these folks are in their last, season of life and being denied the very things that bring them joy. And as you said, Providence Place is free to allow the residents to engage in religious discussion and prayer and express that in a variety of ways. So Matt, you're just waiting. What's next on this?
Yeah, so we've given them an ultimatum till the end of today. So we're drawing here to the final hours of it, hoping that they're going to do the right thing. This is ridiculous. This is unnecessary. This is in direct contravention of the Christmas spirit and the rights of these residents. And so we're hoping that they're going to do the right thing. But if not, we're going to explore all options, because when you see a facility like this specifically targeting religion and treating religion differently, telling residents that their religion is not welcome there, that's very problematic from our viewpoint. And so we're going to explore all legal options available to those we're representing here.
All right. So you've given them an ultimatum till the end of the day. They're on West Coast time, right? West Coast
That's right.
time. Providence Place, you got to pick up the phone. You got to call Matt and do the right thing. Matt Sharp of Alliance Defending Freedom, thank you so much and Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you and Merry Christmas.
All right. When we come back, the phone lines are going to be open. But first, I'm going to do one of my favorite traditions. But give us a call, 866-372-7234. Let's party here in this last segment and just love to hear from you. And I want to thank the listeners and the opportunity and to thank Tony Perkins for the chance to be here in FRC. It's been an incredible ride. I want to hear from you, 866-372-7234.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect. This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom. Together, we will work to protect life, marriage, and religious liberty in our country. If you give before December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Don't miss your opportunity to join other like-minded people and become an FRC Stan member. Join today and you'll receive empowering resources like Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, and for a limited time, Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray. So become an FRC Stan member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stan. Thank you for partnering with us for the sake of America.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again.
Well, you're listening to Washington Watch.
Silver lanes aglow.
Turning third, heading towards home.
Beginning to look a lot.
One last time here. In a formal capacity as the Washington Watch producer and guest host for Tony Perkins. We're going to go to the phone lines, but first I would like to share with you one of my traditions. And if you didn't hear before, starting January 2nd, I will be the new executive producer of the world's largest Christian prayer and meditation app. It's called Abide, A-B-I-D-E. You can check it out at Abide, A-B-I-D-E.co, not com, .co. And a handful of former Google executives, Christians, went out about 5 years ago and developed this app, and it has since been downloaded about 4 million times, being used in some 200 countries. And I will be overseeing the talent team, the script writers, and the voice talent. And be the first time in about 20 years where I will not wake up in the morning and cut my teeth and dig into the heartbreaking news of the day. And friends, I got to tell you, the spiritual warfare has been so intense since this decision. And won't go into all the details, but the enemy doesn't like it when we pray. And you hear Tony talk about it all the time. Matter of fact, the book by Pastor Carter Conlon, It's Time to Pray, the entire staff at FRC is going to read this book. That's how important FRC sees prayer. The enemy doesn't like it when we press in and pray. And so I have been in the full armor of Yeshua, and it's Friday, Shabbat Shalom. I hear the shofar blowing. And as we enter in on this Friday, I would like to share with you, it's a lighter reading, A Cup of Christmas Tea by Tom Higg. I believe I read it last year. But the log was in the fireplace all spiced and set to burn. At last the yearly Christmas race was in the clubhouse turn. The cards were in the mail, all the gifts beneath the tree, and 30 days reprieve till Visa could catch up with me. And though smug satisfaction seemed the order of the day, something still was nagging me. and would not go away. A week before, I got a letter from my old great aunt. It read, "Of course I'll understand completely if you can't. But if you find you have some time, how wonderful if we could have a little chat and share a cup of Christmas tea." She'd had a mild stroke that year, which crippled her left side. Though housebound now, my folks had said it hadn't hurt her pride. They said she'd love to see you. What a nice thing it would be for you to go and maybe have a cup of Christmas tea. But boy, I didn't want to go. Oh, what a bitter pill to see an old relation and how far she'd gone downhill. I remembered her as vigorous, as funny, and as bright. I remembered Christmas Eves when she regaled us half the night. I didn't want to risk all that. I didn't want the pain. I didn't need to be depressed. I didn't need the strain. And what about my brother? Why not him? She's his aunt, too. I thought I had it satisfied, but then before I knew, the reasons not to go I so painstakingly had built were crackling wide and crumbling in an acid rain of guilt. I put on boots and gloves and cap, shame stinging every pore, and armed with squeegee, sand, and map, I went out my front door. I drove in from the suburbs to the older part of town. The pastels of the newer homes gave way to gray and brown. I had that disembodied feeling as the car pulled up and stopped beside the wooden house that held the Christmas cup. How I got up to her door, I really couldn't tell. I watched my hand rise up and press the button of the bell. I waited, aided by my nervous rocking to and fro, and just as I was thinking I should turn around and go, I heard the rattle of the china in the hutch against the wall. The triple beat of 2 feet in a crutch came down the hall. The clicking of the door latch and the sliding of the bolt, a little swollen struggle, popped open with a jolt. She stood there, pale and tiny, looking fragile as an egg. I forced myself from staring at the brace that held her leg. And though her thick bifocals seemed to crack and spread her eyes, their milky and refracted depths lit up with young surprise. "Come in, come in," she laughed the words. She took me by the hand, and all my fears dissolved away as if by her command. We went inside, and then before I knew how to react, before my eyes and ears and nose was Christmas past, alive, intact. The scent of candied oranges, of cinnamon and pine, the antique wooden soldiers in their military line, the porcelain nativity, well, I'd always loved so much, the Dresden and the crystal I'd been told I mustn't touch. My spirit fairly bolted like a child outside of class and danced among the ornaments of calico and glass. Like magic, I was six again, deep in a Christmas spell, steeped in the million memories the boy inside knew well. And here among old Christmas cards so lovingly displayed, a special place of honor for the ones we kids had made. And there beside her rocking chair, the center of it all, my great aunt stood and said how nice it was I had come to call. I sat and rattled on about the weather and the flu. She listened very patiently. She smiled and said, "What's new?" Thoughts and words began to flow. I started making sense. I lost the phony breeziness I use when I get tense. She was still passionately interested in everything I did. She was positive, encouraging, like when I was a kid. Simple generalities still sent her into fits. She remained and demanded the specifics, the particulars, the bits. She talked about the limitations that she'd had to face. She spoke with utter candor and with humor and good grace. Then, defying the reality of crutch and straightened knee, on wings of hospitality, she flew to brew the tea. I sat alone with feelings that I hadn't felt in years, through a thick, hot blur of tears. And the candles and the holly she'd arranged on every shelf, the impossibly good cookies she still somehow baked herself. But these rich, tactile memories became quite pale and thin when measured by the Christmas my great aunt kept deep within. Her body haveled and nearly spent, but my great aunt was whole. I saw a Christmas miracle. The triumph of a soul. The triple beat of 2 feet in the crutch came down the hall. The rattle of the china in the hutch against the wall. She poured 2 cups, she smiled, and then she handed one to me, and then we settled back, and we had a cup of Christmas tea. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Please give me a call. I would love to hear from you. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. And it's that story I envision at that nursing home, that senior facility up in Washington, that seniors reach a place in their life and we can learn so much from them. And only if I could have a few more moments with my grandfather, Irvin Davis. He was one of the strong men in my life in tow trucking business downtown Kansas City. And it's this time of year that, you know, we have the opportunity to love on each other. And what I like about that book is that we've lost the art of storytelling. The art of storytelling and sharing the stories of our families and sharing the stories of Scripture in a way that our kids might understand. Let's talk about it. We've got a few minutes. I would please give me a call, 866-372-7234. Just like to chat here in our last few moments here on Friday edition of Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Give us a call, 866-372-7234. We're certainly getting ready in our home. And excited about the opportunities to just to share with folks, and been baking and doing all of those things, and you know made some visits around town last night, delivering some goodies and goodie boxes and whatnot, which is always fun to do. And you know, you just kind of surprise people, knock knock knock, hey, how you doing? You know, it's just the opportunity to connect with people and to extend the love of Christ, the love of Yeshua with those, you know, in our community, in our family. And we also like to take goodies over to the police department and the fire station. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. You're listening to Washington Watch. We'd love to hear from you and just appreciate you so much. And just also remember, there's another phone number you can call. We've got this matching grant opportunity, 1-800-225-4008. Every gift you get will be doubled, 1-800-225-4008. These funds are critical to the work of the Family Research Council. Let's go to Bobby in Illinois. Hi, Bobby.
Hi, Russ. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I just want to tell you, I'm great. I just want to tell you how much you have touched my life. Mm-hmm. Your stories, your honesty, your transparency. Mm-hmm. I love how you connected with me and connected with all of your listeners and your callers. And you have really touched my life.
I appreciate that.
You're just so real. You're just so real, and I felt your stories, and thank you so much for being a part of my life when you were here. And I have installed Abide on my phone, and and please your listeners to do that, connect with you on Abide. I have listened to it, and it is very good. And I'm looking forward to connecting with you there also. Okay. I need that also. Thank you.
God bless you.
And I loved it. Your stories, how you connected with your father, especially that was probably the very first time, either the first time I heard you or the very first time that I really felt your heart. was when you were talking about how you connected with your father. That just touched me so much. Mm-hmm. I volunteer at a homeless at the Hope Shelter up here in Illinois, and I see the homeless people, and I.
Right.
I help them, and it just touched my soul. And,
oh, thank you.
And I thought, you know, they need love too.
Mm-hmm. Bobby, thank you so much, and God bless you, and Merry Christmas. Thanks for calling. That means so very much to me. Let's go to Iris in Texas. Hi, Iris.
Hi. I'm the Messianic Jewish lady that's called you a few times when you've been on.
I know who you are.
And you've
I know
been
who you are,
Iris. Because you have celebrated Yeshua, the beautiful part of the Jewish heritage that's so rich as brothers and sisters in Christ. And
yes.
I couldn't agree with your previous caller that was so beautifully stated. Your heart for people, for the listening audience, and your love for Yeshua, for Jesus, is very evident, and your gentle spirit will take you a long way, as it already has. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. It has been a blessing for you to be here, and we know that God has mighty plans in your next ministry part of your life. So I just called to say thank you, and God bless you for all that you've shared in the time that you've been on Washington Watch. Thank you.
Thank you. Shabbat Shalom, Iris. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Wow.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Give us a call. Got time for a few more calls. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. You're listening to Washington Watch. Russ Jones has been sitting in for Tony Perkins here. About to wrap up here, the final show in this official capacity as producer of the radio program. You've been an incredible blessing. Tony Perkins, I want to personally thank you. Thank you for your leadership at the Family Research Council. And I want to thank my colleagues in Washington, D.C. and around the United States. And just know, every gift you give to this organization is fighting for faith, family, and freedom. I can absolutely attest to that. And friends, all I got to say is be real. People are starving for authenticity. They need to hear from us. They need to hear our voice. They need to hear our stories, and they need to see Yeshua in us. They need to see Jesus. We may be the only scripture, the only Bible they ever read, and we have tremendous opportunities to come before God's holy throne and to wake up every morning and to live for Yeshua, to live for God, and to tell his stories and to show people. Sometimes people need to see us living it out more than they need to hear the words. And friends, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Signing off here today, Russ Jones here on Washington Watch. And friends, if the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries, we will see you on Monday. God bless and be well.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.